Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. And good morning to you, Nancy Degner.
Well, good morning to all the Southwest.
Oh, yeah, well, let's go the right direction. And I know you've been here a number of times, so yes, I know you know where Atlantic
is
located.
I'm just sitting here looking out my office, Southeast, that's why.
I see, yes.
Yeah.
Well, Nancy, that question, what's for dinner? You know, a lot of us are reminded of that commercial, but first we're going to talk about what's for Christmas dinner, because lots of people think prime rib is the answer to that question, but some of us are afraid of cooking prime rib. So let's talk about how difficult, how easy. But my very first question, Nancy, is what is prime rib?
Well, prime rib is actually a cooking method. Otherwise, if it said USDA choice prime, or no, I'm sorry, USDA prime rib roast, then it would be a grade of beef. It would be a grade of a rib roast. But we call prime rib is just the method of cooking it and roasting it. And we see so much of it served in restaurants. So it is a dry oven roast. And I say that you put it on a rack. There's no cover, no lid, nothing to hold in the steam or the moisture. So the oven roasting is when you have hot oven heat and you get a totally different texture, you get a different flavor, you get a different browning. And so we call that method... Well, we use that method to call the dish prime rib.
All right.
It's oven roasting.
So if I want to oven roast, if I want to do a prime rib cooking, I'm going to get that rib cut. And then what do I do?
Well, first of all, you have to decide which rib roast you want. If you want a standing rib roast, that means you have to probably go order it, because it would be a special order in most stores. And that means the bones are attached, and the whole rib section, you're getting, if you like a ribeye steak, the ribeye roast or the rib roast, that's the muscle that you're getting. So standing rib means the bones are still attached, and you use the bones kind of curve, so the bones become a rack to roast, to keep the meat out of the juices. Now, most of us, the majority of us, if we wanted to do the prime rib, would go and get a boneless ribeye roast. And they are much, much more common. And you get a lot of the fat and bone trimmed off. You get all the bone trimmed off.
So you get a little more for your money when you go that route.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the, probably the most expensive cuts of beef outside of something really strange and made in Japan or whatever. I mean, this is. But maybe I'm wrong.
Well, probably the per pound, if we go per pound, the beef tenderloin roast would be the most.
Okay.
And the ribeye roast, it just depends. A lot of times it's a feature item during Christmas, during the holidays. And the other thing you get, you're getting no bones. You're getting some fat. You need to determine how much to buy for your holiday get-together. So if you're buying a standing rib roast, sometimes they tell you to buy per bone.
Uh-huh.
You know, but on a boneless ribeye roast, usually we would say plan on 1 to 2 servings per raw pound.
Okay, think about your who's there in your family who's going to eat it. Some are going to want a lot more than others. So,
and if you have teenage boys or young adult males, let's just say that you have to consider the males versus the females. Probably different portions.
Exactly. Okay, so we've purchased our rib roast and... you've already said we're going to put it on a rack and we're going to put it in without a cover.
Right, with a shallow roasting pan. You don't want the sides. You want the air to get to the whole roast.
Okay.
And before we go too far on, we can do this with other cuts besides the ribeye roast. We'll come back to that.
Okay. Okay.
And so anyway, so then you want to season the roast, and you can do a rub. You can do, my favorite is usually salt, pepper, and garlic powder. You can put basil in it or oregano. You can just do your favorite seasoning. But just rub the whole surface of the roast. And we usually say put it fat side up. Mm-hmm. If there is a fat side to it, you want the fat side up, and it protects the hot heat from the lean muscle, too. So you put it on the rack. You can either insert an oven meat thermometer, or if you use the timetables and the guidelines, then when you want to go in and test it, you can use an instant read thermometer. I would suggest if you're going to have a ribeye roast that you get an oven thermometer that is the kind that you keep in the oven, mm-hmm. in the roast while you roast.
But for sure you need a thermometer. We used to just, and I guess there are some experts who can tell, but really the safest way is to have a thermometer, both for food safety as well as doneness, because some people want it more done than others.
Right, and I am convinced that more people will, we can preach the food safety message forever. You and I both know that. But the real, if you really want to add value to your roast, you can get a better quality if you use that thermometer. So that's just another good reason for using it. But the instant read ones, the little quick read in 15 seconds, they do not go in the oven while the oven is
roasting.
Because
have a melted mess there. Yes.
I've had many people complain about this defective thermometer that we gave them.
Yes. No. So now we've got it on the rack. We've got our thermometer there. What temperature?
You know, we have temperature guidelines, and I would suggest people to either check your cookbook or check online, and we'll give you those websites. But it really depends on the size of the roast, because it and the shape of the roast, and so you need to look at the time and temperature guidelines, because it usually it's around 325, but a tenderloin roast roasts at like 425. But for probably the average. If we're going to go with a ribeye roast, I'm checking my facts. It would be about 350.
Okay.
But the timing all depends on the weight of the roast, and it also depends on the degree of doneness you want.
Okay, and then lastly, and then sometimes I, maybe you have another thing before last, but I'm thinking about that, taking it out of the oven before the final temperature is reached?
Yes, very important. If you use your oven thermometer, and let's say I have an 8-pound roast, and my oven thermometer that's sticking in the roast says it's 135 degrees, and I want a medium rare roast. Well, I'm going to take it out at 135. I'm going to set it aside. I'm going to cover it with tin foil so that it stays warm, put it in a relatively warm place. And then I'm going to make my gravy, and I'm going to finish potatoes and stuff like that, and I'm going to let it set at least 15-20 minutes, and that will go up at least 10 degrees in doneness.
Interesting, yes.
And you also, what you find is the juices will settle back in the meat, and instead of cutting them and having this plate full of juices run out, it just kind of makes it easier to carve, and you keep a lot of those juices in the roast.
Add a little more flavor to it, actually.
Right.
Yeah, okay. So, Nancy, now you've mentioned several times we need these resources. You know, it's good to check, and people do have cookbooks, but a lot of us go online anymore. And the Iowa Beef Council, and you have added a number of things there, even a video.
That's right. We have, if you go to iabeef.org, iabeef.org, if you go there, on our homepage, you will see this delicious, gorgeous picture of a rib roast, and you can click on that. We have the 1-2-3, easiest 1-2-3 instructions that will walk you through kind of what we've talked about. And we also then have the link to beefitswhatsfordinner.com, which is our national website. And there we have videos that you can link to, and you can actually see someone preparing that rib roast.
Now, the other thing that we have other cuts, many other cuts, and there are some lean cuts. Some of those are newer to people. You know, let's talk a little bit about some of the lean cuts, especially let's talk about roast, since we're talking about roast initially. And you know, what are some of your suggestions there?
Well, the when you come to roasting, what I have found over the years is that most of us think of a pot roast when we roast, and then we go out to dinner and we at a restaurant and we get prime rib and we say, oh, this is so wonderful, I could never do that. Well, so what I'm telling you there is, A, we've just talked about how you can do that. But the real difference is you get the pink roast that is a different degree, you know, multiple different degrees of doneness that comes from roasting it in the oven without the lid on. Mm-hmm. But if you like a well-done roast, my suggestion would be to do a traditional braising or a pot roast type of dish where you cook it with the lid on. Now, the roasts that are new that we have in the market, we have worked with our butchers in the stores. And in many cases, we can take the, if you think of a sirloin steak, well, we make like 3 sirloin roasts out of the whole top sirloin primal, so that you end up with a smaller, like a 2-pound roast possibly, that's maybe 3 to 4 inches in diameter. We can do this with a top loin. When you think of a top loin or a strip steak, we can make a roast out of that. So it's just the way that they cut it just a little bit differently. And the value there is we have a very tender cut that is very lean and really is appropriate for a smaller household. If you're just having 4 or 6 people over for dinner and you want a really nice pink beef roast, then that's a good choice. And they're both very lean.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, again, if you mentioned several cuts and so on, and if you want to know more about that, that's all right there on the web, too. And most cookbooks also, or many, have pictures of the beef that show you where those cuts come from. And then you can always ask your local butcher. The person behind the meat counter should have the answers to your questions.
And what you can do is just find that one who really does. And I say that because it depends on the store, but you usually have somebody there who really likes to cook, and they like to be in that business. So make a friend of the butcher that really can help you make those selections.
Okay, good idea.
We give them information all the time, too. And many of your stores, we have a little brochure called How to Prepare the Perfect Prime Rib. And we send about 30 to 35,000 of those brochures out to grocery stores to the meat departments across Iowa.
Well, we want to thank you very much, Nancy Degner, who's Executive Director for the Iowa Beef Council, for just kind of reminding us, bringing us up to date on, I'm going to say, what's for Christmas dinner. And remember, that could be beef.
That sounds great. Thanks, LaVon.